And welcome to our service here at Newport-on-Tay Church. Whether you are here in front of me, or from the comfort of your own home on Zoom, or listening to this service as a recording at a later date, whether this is your first time with us, your first time back with us, or your first time since last Sunday, you are all very welcome. Please come through and join us for tea and coffee in the hall after the service for a time of fellowship. I am delighted to be leading the service this morning on behalf of the worship team. I have been battling a bit of a cough this week and have had no voice for some of that time, but I am hoping that everything will be okay for today. I have, however, asked my dad to step in for the prayers just to give me a little break. One unfortunate aspect of life is the loss of a loved one, and sadly, two members of our congregation have passed away recently. On the 15th of April, Helen Belcher, formerly of Galdrey and Scots Craig Apartments, died suddenly but peacefully in Nine Wells Hospital. While on the 22nd of April, Cyril Wilson, formerly of Kinbrae and Granary Lane, passed away in a nursing home in Newborough. As is our custom in recent times, can I ask if you are able to please stand for a moment of silence in respect for Helen and for Cyril? Comfort is a central promise to those who mourn. One of the most famous passages, Matthew 5, verse 4 from the Beatitudes, says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This promise highlights the spiritual support and eventual consolation that believers can find through their faith. Heavenly Father, please comfort the families of Helen and Cyril and let them be aware of your eternal love surrounding them all, especially at this sad time. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Our call to worship this morning is 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. This is how we know we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We start our service this morning by singing a hymn that in the first four words covers the theme for this morning. It's hymn 622, "We Sing a Love That Sets All People Free."
Thank you. Let's come together before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord of salvation, we are privileged to be called your friends, even your children. The rivers, the seas, and all creation testify to your power, and it does our hearts good to join that chorus. We confess, though, that we resist your call and turn away from your command. We choose to align ourselves with some people while neglecting others, as if your love were not meant for all. In your everlasting mercy, forgive us, we pray, that as free people, we might joyfully follow your Spirit's leading. Gracious God, enliven our senses to recognize that everything is a gift of your grace, and so enable us to perceive all of creation with wonder and gratitude. Gazing upon Jesus, we are confronted with grace beyond our wildest dreams. May his willingness to grant eternal life be the engine of our faithful response to Jesus' new command that we love one another. And so we give thanks for all the spiritual gifts which we inherit through faith in Jesus, for the Holy Spirit who is alive, living and reigning within us, for our families and friends, may we never take them for granted, for those who find it hard to love, and for those who struggle to love us. Let us give thanks for the remarkable gift of God's creating and redeeming love, the loving that casts out all fear, for the love that enables us to marvel at our own existence, to ponder and recognize our own needs, and affirm our own knowledge and purpose, for the love that helps us to communicate with one another, to express trust and respect, share heartaches and visions, to convey love and mercy, for the love that inspires us to warmly encourage those around us, to affirm and build up, comfort and enlighten, for the love that encourages us to express something of our faith for creeds and prayers, hymns and readings, discussion groups and sermons. Above all else, we thank you for the love that allows us to admit that we have no words in which to adequately describe the process of faith in Christ, the awesome worship of our God, and the holy wonder of the Spirit. Through Christ Jesus, who is the pure glory of your loving, let us now pray together as our Saviour has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is from Junior Praise number 50, Give Me Oil in My Lamp, Keep Me Burning.
Thank you.
people to come down to the front and join me. How are we all today? Good. You guys looking forward to a day off school tomorrow? Yeah? Nice. Any plans? Maybe. Maybe just see what the day brings. Right, well, I've got a picture to show you. I've actually got two pictures to show you, but we'll start with the first one. She looks cute, doesn't she? So this is my fiancé's dog. This is Lily. This is Lily after she's just had a haircut. And she looks so pretty. And she was so fluffy and so soft. The next picture gives a little bit more about her character. She's like, I own this sofa. If I want the cushions to be there, the cushions will be there. If I don't want the cushions to be there, they will be pushed onto the floor. She's very, very cheeky at times. Do any of you guys have a pet? What do you have?
A cat.
A cat. What's your cat's name? Oh, lovely. What do you have?
A guinea pig.
A guinea pig? A guinea pig. Two guinea pigs?
And one dog, Luma, and a deer.
Oh.
And the other dog, Jester.
Brilliant. So we've got cats, guinea pigs. What have you guys got?
Guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs as well? How many guinea pigs have you got? Two guinea pigs as well? Is it the same two guinea pigs? No. Okay. I was slightly concerned when I knew that I was going to be speaking about pets today, that people were going to be here and nobody was going to have a pet. I need not have worried. What do we need to do to look after our pets? How do we take care of them? Tell me something. Feed them? Water them? Give them love? With Lily, I need to take her for a walk. Do you guys need to take your cats and guinea pigs for a walk? But sometimes maybe they might get outside into a run or have a little bit of time on the grass. Yours a house cat. So she just goes running around the house. Yes, okay. Do you like to play with the guinea pigs? Well, playing's very good as well. What does your pet do for you? So I know for Lily, she's like a friend to me. She seems to know when I need a cuddle, and she'll come and she'll sit up beside me on the sofa and she'll cuddle in. Do your pets do anything for you?
No.
Not like that. They don't jump up on the sofa. That's very sensible. You've got them well trained. In the gospel story, in the Bible story that grown-ups are going to hear later on, there's a phrase, remain in love. But in some versions of the Bible, the phrase, abide in my love, is used. And Jesus says this word, abide, over and over. And he talks about it with love quite a lot too. Do you know what the word abide means? And it's okay if you don't know. Because do you know what? I looked it up in a dictionary. I came prepared. And I found a few different meanings. So abide can mean to live in a place or live with someone. It can mean to listen and to follow rules. Or it can mean to stay with someone, like abide with me. So if we think about our pets abide with us. They live at our houses, some of them outside, some of them inside. So that covers the first meaning of abide. And there are probably some rules about our pets as well. For example, your cat's not allowed outside. The guinea pigs probably don't want to cross the road. They need to be told you need to stay safe in the hutch. The turtle maybe might not be allowed on the table. The fish, if you've got fish, maybe need to stay in the water. The third one's a little bit more tricky. So I said it means to stay with someone. But I think it's more than just staying with someone. Our pets stay with us. And stay with us no matter what. They are always with us. And it's more than just staying in the same room as us. It's loving them and caring for them. So in the Bible story, Jesus says that the Father loves him and that he loves us. And then that word abide comes. Abide in my love, or live in my love. Follow the rules of my love and stay with me no matter what. He says that if we do that, we will have joyful hearts. Jesus says that if we abide in his love, then we can love each other, even more, which is the whole reason for the story, to teach us to live with each other, to listen to what each other needs, and to love them no matter what. So just like we all love our pets, we need to love each other too, and we can do that with God and Jesus' help. So let's just finish with just a little prayer. Loving God, teach us to abide in your love, to live lives full of love, to listen to the needs of others, and to love and care for them no matter what. Help us to care for our pets and give them lots of love. Thank you for abiding with us all, no matter what. Amen. Now, before our young ones leave for their activities, we're going to sing another song. But this one has a little bit more audience participation, because it wouldn't be a service of me without audience participation. So the song is, Hallelujah, 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 we'll praise the Lord. Now, I apologise if there are any colourblind people in the congregation today. We have Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah in red. Tell you what, can you three come over this side for me? Or four, George, you can come over too. Perfect. So, this side, roughly half the choir, you're going to be the Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujahs. So when it's red and we sing Hallelujah, 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 you're going to stand up and sing those words. This side, you're my We'll Praise the Lords. And when we get to the blue We'll Praise the Lord, it's your turn to stand up and sing We'll Praise the Lord. So it's going to be a bit of this. And I will jump around in the middle like this. I won't jump around. So, do we know this song? Hallelujah, 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 we'll praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 we'll praise the Lord. We'll praise the Lord. And when we get to the yellow, we'll praise the Lord. Everyone's up. We'll praise the Lord. Shall we have a little practice? I will say, if anybody in the congregation, children, this does not apply to you, anyone in the congregation who would prefer to either stay seated for the whole hymn or standing for the whole hymn, that is absolutely fine too. But those of you that feel able or would like a little stretch of the legs, this is your time. We'll do it once first. We'll do a little practice and then we'll reevaluate. Sunday club for youth seekers, fun and games.
Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O Our first reading today is Psalm 98. And this can be found on page 603 of the Pew Bibles. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17, on page 1083 of the Pew Bibles. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn is 500, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise.
Oh,
This week, we are being encouraged in our worship to love God, love one another, and love our neighbour. It is important that we live in such a manner, as God's love is perfect and eternal, and is so powerful that nothing can separate us from it. Part of our learning to love as God loves is to allow God to break down and demolish the walls and barriers we erect as to who we think are worthy recipients of God's love. Receiving God's love is wonderful and powerful, but it will also be deeply challenging. Our vision as a church is stated in this powerful mission statement. The Church of Scotland seeks to inspire the people of Scotland and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ through enthusiastic worshipping, witnessing, nurturing, and serving communities. The inspiring, the enthusiasm, the witnessing, the nurturing, and serving are all words that sum up our role as a team as we look to give leadership to our church during these trying times. And this is where our readings for today are helpful. One of the most important aspects of the worship we bring to God is our sung worship. I'm sure that, like me, this is one of your favourite ways of engaging in worship, especially when we do so by gathering together. Here, the psalmist invites us to sing to the Lord a new song for the marvelous things that God has done and wants to bring alive the fact that God, who is eternal and unchanging, is always worthy of our worship. There are times when we need to come before God in worship simply for who God is and not just for what we want God to do for us. This psalm focuses on the victories God has secured, showing God's people what salvation looks like. In the same way, we can reveal God's nature to others by the way we live. When we grow in our worship of God by giving God our time, our talents, and our energy, we'll make God's love and life more visible. This will lead us and those we engage with to bring a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The beauty of such worship is that when we bring it, our worship will call to creation itself to join with us in bringing a symphony of sounds of worship to our Creator God. The sea will resound, the rivers will clap their hands, the very mountains will sing, and all of this will happen before God comes to judge the world. Throughout Psalm 98, we hear and read about the power of song and salvation. Verse 1, we sing, and we are ready to sing new songs to bring to life the wonderful ways God works. Verses 2 and 3, we sing about salvation, and having had God's salvation made known to us, we make it known to the ends of the earth through song and our lives. Verses 4 and 5, we surprise people by making sure our singing, our worship, is joyful. An important part of such joy is maximizing the use of any and all musical instruments and the skilled musicians who play them. Verses 7 to 9, we then look and listen on in wonder as our singing for God's salvation, freely received, invites creation to join with us as we worship God. We see creation through God's eyes, and we begin to listen for the sound it makes and the worship it brings. The sea and all life within it can make resounding songs before God. The rivers can clap, the mountains can sing. Listen for God at work in creation, and listen as creation responds in worship. As we reflect on the worship we bring to God, we must never move far from the principle that true worship is simply an expression of our love to the one who first loved us. Just as the Father God loved and loves Jesus, so God has loved and loves you and me. If we live in this love, worship will never be far from our hearts and thoughts. With that, by abiding in God's love for us, Keeping these commandments will never be burdensome. It's part of the expression of our love. Knowing God's love for us and growing in love for God in return leads us to our deepest sense of joy. This then overflows in our hearts and lives, leading us to love others. Loving God, loving one another and our neighbour is our greatest purpose and potential, and will lead us to experience life as God intended. It will literally be a taste of heaven on earth. Jesus has exemplified this greater love by laying down his life for us. This teaches us that it will be costly to truly love God and others, and will often result in us having to make sacrifices. We don't always make it easy for God to love us, but God never stops. God sets the example and asks us to follow it. If we are struggling to love others, it is likely we have drifted from God's first love for us. Our reading from John 15 contains some of the most powerful verses about God's love and the joy of loving others. As the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. Remain in my love. God has loved you with the same love that the Father loves the Son. It's a complete, total, uncompromising love that sacrifices all things to bring you back to himself. Because that's what our sin did to us. It separated us from God. It divided us from him. We could not pray to him. We could not reach out to him. We could not benefit from him spiritually or eternally. We were lost, hopeless, spiritually dead, and destined for eternal death in hell. But then God gave to us the greatest expression of love that one can have. No one has greater love than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. I read this story of a soldier in the First World War who asked his officer if he could go out into the no man's land between the trenches to bring in one of his friends who lay seriously wounded there. "You can go," said the officer, "but it's not worth it. Your friend has probably died, and you will throw your own life away." But the man went. Somehow he managed to get to his friend, lift him onto his shoulder, and bring him back to his own trench. The two of them tumbled together and lay in the bottom of the trench. The officer looked very sympathetically on the would-be rescuer, and then he said, "I told you it wouldn't be worth it. Your friend is dead, and you are mortally wounded." "It was worth it, though, sir," he said. "How do you mean, worth it? I tell you, your friend is dead." "Yes, sir," the soldier answered. "But it was worth it, because when I got to him, he was still alive, and he said to me, 'Jim, I knew you would come.'" We hear that Jesus' chief loving work was to lay down his life for his friends. He calls us his friends to save them. Normally, if someone lays down their life to save someone else, it's a limited and temporary thing. Someone jumps in front of a bullet and saves the life of one person. Someone dives on top of a grenade and perhaps saves multiple lives. But the people saved, be it one or several, will eventually die. Laying down our life for others is always limited, simply delaying the inevitable. But not for Jesus. When he laid down his life for us, his friends, it had eternal ramifications. Jesus wasn't simply saving us from a premature physical death. He was rescuing us from eternal death in hell. Laying down his life paid for our sin. There are no limits to Jesus' love. There is nothing temporary in the blessings that God gives through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Which is why Jesus is so adamant, "Remain in my love." So how does one remain in Jesus' love? Before we can understand that, it's important to remember how we got into the sphere of Jesus' love in the first place. Jesus is very clear that this has nothing to do with you, and it has nothing to do with me, It has everything to do with him. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." He decided to save us. He died for us. He sent the Holy Spirit through his word to create faith in our hearts, which brought us from the death of unbelief to a new life lived for him. Everything that we are or have through Jesus is because of Jesus, not us. We did not choose any of this. He chose us and made it happen. We know the spiritual results of Jesus' work and choosing us. But what are the external results? What is the evidence that Jesus has done all of this for us? "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will endure." We are branches connected to the vine, branches that are healthy, that draw their nourishment from the trunk of the vine, bear abundant fruit. Good works are the evidence of our God-given faith. Good works do not cause Jesus' love, but they are an outward expression that we are staying put in Jesus' love. Being in his love causes his love to express itself in our thoughts, words, and actions. Jesus says that the best way to express that love, to express our thanks to him in our life, is by serving each other. In fact, showing love to others is the completion of the love Jesus has given to us. "I have told you these things so that my joy would continue to be in you and that your joy would be complete. This is my command: love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than someone who lays down his life for his friend." We know that we can't love in exactly the same way Jesus loved. Nothing we do or sacrifice for someone else is going to get rid of anyone's sins. Nothing we do or sacrifice is going to rescue someone from hell. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying to love like he did so that it brings about the same result. That's not only impossible, but completely unnecessary, because he did it all. No, when he says that we should love like he does, he's speaking about the spirit of that love, the motivation of that love. We do not show love to someone to get something in return. We show love to someone just to love them, to sacrifice for them. Laying down our life may not, and in fact most often will not, be the dramatic, over-the-top saving of someone's life by sacrificing your own. We're not likely going to have that opportunity to dive in front of a bullet or on top of a grenade to save someone's life. Laying down your life may mean sacrificing the time that you had set aside for something really fun that you were looking forward to help someone in their time of need. It may mean delaying something that you had planned to talk with someone going through a difficult time. It means using your time, money, energy to help someone who has a need. By this, you show your connection to your Savior. In this, you show that you remain in Jesus' love. And this goes beyond your family, beyond your friends, beyond your brothers and sisters in faith. This love, this self-sacrificing love, can and should be shown to others. The stranger, the neighbor you don't get along with, the person who seems to hate you with no reason. Your response? Love. Self-sacrificing love. Jesus speaks at some length to the disciples who were there listening. The flicker of a few candles battle the dark. These disciples were not chosen for their brilliant spiritual CVs. They were just some normal guys, including a few fishermen and a tax collector. It's almost as if Jesus wanted to make the point that anybody would do. Anybody could be a disciple. Anybody who could listen. It's the hearing that matters. Jesus, who's just washed their feet, shared the Passover supper with the profound poignancy of one who knows they won't ever be together for an evening ever again, opens his mouth and we hear him say, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." How did the Father love Jesus? He had pushed him out of the comfortable confines of heaven down onto earth, where, as a baby, Herod tried to kill him. The father sends him into the wilderness for 40 days, under assault by the devil, trying to get his claws into him. The father loved him by pressing him into conflict with people who plotted to put an end to him. And the father loved him by encircling him with friends who were total knuckleheads. They never got what he was about, and they ran for the exits when they could have used a few friends. How did the father love Jesus? Peril at every turn, demons to be cast out, the sick pulling on him, crowds pressing, a woman yanking the hem of the garment, no roof over his head, and then the worst conceivable end. We might wish Jesus had said something else, like, as the Father has loved me, well, I will spare you all of that. I will love you differently. I will let you live on an island of ease and weave a spell of protection around you. But no, it seems that Jesus' words of love are the same as the Father's. And if we abide in his love, we may lose the roof over our heads. We will battle devils. People will wrinkle their brow and be totally puzzled by our weirdness. We won't get ahead in the world. We will be catapulted into serving in daunting places. And that is why being loved by Jesus is so good. It's hard, unfathomable, something you have no ability to pull off. But you go, and you know the one loving you has been there. And it's so hard, which is why it's meaningful. I think there must be one other thing too. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And we know how the story ends. We know Jesus suffered terribly. But God could not leave his son, the one he'd loved, his friend, in the grave. How did the Father love Jesus? On the third day, God raised him up, which really tells us less about some automatic destiny we might have after we die than about how magnificent God really is. And if we think about it, we fall down on our faces and we laugh. Then we pick each other up and begin to sing some great chorus of praise to a God who loves like that. This is my command. Love each other. Let us pray. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may have soft hearts and open ears for your word. And may my words be your words, not my own. Through Jesus, God has chosen us to be his divine purpose, namely for joy, for expressing acts of love, to be his friends, and to be his hands and feet and voice to his people. All we have to do is choose to follow Jesus. Amen. I apologize for any of the feedback that might be coming through some of the speakers. I know I'm hearing up here. I don't know whether you're hearing it down here. We will continue singing anyway, and I'm sure the organ and our wonderful words of praise to God will cover that. Our next hymn is hymn number 154, O Lord My God, When I in Awesome Wonder.
Thank you.
us come together once again before God to offer our prayers, to dedicate our offerings, and to pray for others. Let us pray. Loving God, we present to you our offerings, whether of money, of time, or talents, or energy, and ask that you bless these and dedicate them to your use. Help us to look upon these as our response to you, and to support and promote your kingdom, whether locally, nationally, or internationally. God of love, in whom we abide in love, with whom we serve in love, by whom we love one another, we bring our prayers for others, for our world, for our nation, for our neighbours, in solidarity and hope. We pray for those around the world affected by the great challenges of our time, injustice, climate change, conflict and division. May your love overcome fear and distrust, nurturing partnerships of hospitality and welcome, seeking to build a world of peace and hope, of sustainability and harmony. We pray for leaders, those given responsibility to make decisions on our behalf, in councils and parliaments, boards and trusts, that decisions would be made through the lens of love and care, compassion and thoughtfulness, seeking the benefit of all, not just the few. We pray for your church, in parishes and presbyteries, that all would seek to live out their faith with authenticity and grace, letting the love of God, expressed in action and kindness, be our witness without fear or worry. We pray for families whose lives have been overturned by conflict, seeking refuge and asylum, that they would find welcome, support, and a new start. By poverty, seeking to feed and warm their families, that they would retain their dignity. By ill health, seeking healing and restoration amidst a stretched health system. By the passing of a loved one, whether recently, aware this time of year is an anniversary of that loss. We pray for those facing life-changing events in the near future, whether medical appointments, school examinations, weddings. Comfort and support all those who would benefit from your love and care. We pray, God of love, in one breath lamenting situations that seem out of our control, and with the next breath in joyful hope, for you lead us into the future, abiding in your love. May we, in whatever way we can, inspired by your love for us, be your hands and your feet, transforming the world about us, one act of faithful service at a time. Amen.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Alison, for the readings. We bring our service to a close this morning, thinking about the worship we give to God and the love we not only receive, but give. A hymn that finishes with the phrase, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. It's hymn 167, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
As we go from here to grow the kingdom of God, may we do so in love. As we go from here to share the love of God with all whom we meet, may we do so knowing that God loved us first, God loves us still, and God always will. May you feel the love of God in your heart. May you know Jesus' commandment to love in your mind. And may the Holy Spirit guide and inspire your mouths, hearts, hands, and feet along that journey. Remain in God's love that was freely given to you. Remain in God's love by loving like he loves. Remain in God's love because by that love you will be with him forever. And may the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon us and all whom we love this day and forevermore.